The Quran refers to the lives of many prophets. One of these is Prophet Noah, peace be upon him. He, like other prophets, sought to turn his people away from their distorted beliefs and called them to the path of God. However, these people persisted in refusing to believe in him, for which reason they were destroyed with a terrible flood. The evidence of that flood has been preserved as a detriment to others for thousands of years. When the waters rose, we carried you in the ship to make it a reminder for you and something to be retained by retentive ears. Noah's tribe lived an irreligious life, far removed from God's verses. They either denied God or else ascribed partners to him. God honored Noah with prophethood and charged him with pointing this deviant tribe towards the true path. Noah countless times advised his people to have faith in God and to abide by his religion. Quran describes how he warned his people and called them to the path of God. We sent Noah to his people, and he said, "My people, worship God. You have no deity other than him, so won't you guard against evil?" However, instead of finding the true path, they denied Noah and accused him of being possessed. In addition, they decided to watch and oppress him. In the face of these reactions, Noah always sought shelter in God and begged for his help. The ruling circle of Noah's people said, "He is nothing but a man possessed, so wait a while and see what happens to him." He said, "My Lord, help me because of their calling me a liar." Despite all this pressure from the associators, Noah continued to warn them and strove day and night to lead them to the true path. Yet his warnings failed to direct those unbelieving people to the true path. The members of his tribe refused to follow the path of God and closed their ears in great ignorance to Noah's warnings and advice. In the face of this, Noah prayed to God with great sincerity and sought his help. He called upon his Lord, "I am overwhelmed, so help me." Thank you. He said, O my Lord, I have called to my people night and day, but my call only increases their flight from the right. God answered this prayer, which Noah uttered with such sincerity, telling him that he would afflict the associators with great suffering and punishment. That suffering was an enormous flood. God ordered Noah, who had heeded his command so scrupulously, to build a boat. Noah carefully constructed this boat. During the flood, the faithful would take shelter in this boat and be saved from the terrible suffering sent by God. The unbelievers, on the other hand, would be drowned. The punishment wreaked on those who refused to believe in Noah is described in verses of the Quran. Build the ark under our supervision, and as we reveal, and do not address me concerning the wrongdoers. They shall be drowned. When the day of the flood came, Noah had his family and the believers board the boat he had constructed at God's command. This event is described in these words in the Quran. So when our command came, and water bubbled up from the earth, we said, Load into it a pair of every species, and your family, except for those against whom the world was preordained, and all who believe. But those who believed with him were only few. The rain fell with a fierce intensity. There was no visibility, and everything was covered with water. The time of suffering had come. The associators fled everywhere in their despair, trying to save themselves. Yet all their efforts were in vain. God's promise had come to pass. All the unbelievers were drowned. Only those believers on Noah's boat were saved. When the flood came to an end, the waters receded, and the ark settled on a high place, described as Al-Jawfa. This is related in these words in the Quran. It was said, Earth, swallow up your water, and heaven, hold back your rain. And the water subsided, and the affair was concluded, and the ark came to land on Al-Judi. And it was said, Away with the people of the wrongdoers. Among those who had not boarded the ark and were drowned was one who had persisted in denial despite all the warnings issued to him. This was Noah's son. This is revealed in these words in the Quran. It sailed with them through mountainous waves, and Noah called out to his son, who had kept himself apart, My son, come on board with us. Do not stay with the unbelievers. He said, I will take refuge on a mountain. It will protect me from the flood. He said, There is no protection from God's command today, except for those he has mercy on. The waves surged in between them, and he was among the drowned. Noah's flood, described in the Quran and the Bible, has attracted people's notice for hundreds of years. A great many myths grew up around the flood, which were shaped in the light of the cultures of different civilizations. A great many different beliefs regarding the flood have thus come down to the present day. Those who deny the reality of Noah's flood support their view with the assertion that a worldwide flood is impossible. However, that criticism is aimed at distortions in the Torah. The Torah is the name given to the first five books of the Old Testament. It contains distortions that say that the flood was a cosmic event and that it engulfed the whole world. Yet the Quran does not make such an assertion. On the contrary, the relevant verses imply that the flood did not engulf the whole world, but drowned only Noah's people. The conclusion to be drawn from this is that the flood was a localized disaster. According to archaeological and historical findings, it occurred in Mesopotamia. The Mesopotamian plains have been suggested as the location of the flood. In this region flourished the oldest and the most developed civilizations known to history. In addition, lying between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, this region is a suitable geographical setting for a great deluge. The second reason why this region is regarded as the location for the flood is historical. Astonishing documents can be found in the records of most of the civilizations established in the region. According to these documents, there was a great flood in the region that affected many civilizations at the same time. More important to us are the archaeological finds. According to these, the people living in Mesopotamia suffered a great many catastrophes over the course of history. Around the second millennium BC, Ibbi-Sin, ruler of the large nation of Ur, situated to the south of Mesopotamia, described the year as coming after a flood that annihilated the borders between the heavens and the earth. Around 1700 BC, the Babylonian Hammurabi described the incident which occurred then as the ruining of the city of Eshnunna with a deluge. The disasters striking the region went even further than this, however. Floods also struck the region in the 10th century BC, at the time of the ruler Nabumukin Apal. In the 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, and 12th centuries AD, and also in the 20th century. It appears that the region has always been prone to catastrophes. It is thus quite possible that a powerful flood could wipe out a whole people. Archaeologists have conducted a great deal of research in order to find traces of Noah's flood which affected Mesopotamia, and have uncovered such traces, and in four cities at once. These were the most important cities of Mesopotamia: Ur, Erech, Kish, and Shurupak. R.H. Hall of the British Museum went down in history as the first person to conduct excavations in the city of Ur. Leonard Woolley, who took it upon himself to carry on with excavations after Hall, also supervised an excavation jointly organized by the British Museum and the University of Pennsylvania. Excavations conducted by Woolley had a huge effect worldwide. They lasted from 1922 to 1934. And took place in the middle of the desert between Baghdad and the Persian Gulf. The first founders of the city of Ur were a people who had come from northern Mesopotamia and referred to themselves as Ubaidian. Archaeologists seeking more information about these people encountered the most astonishing remains. The city of Ur had a royal mausoleum. Many objects were discovered in the mausoleum. Helmets, swords, musical instruments, works of art made from gold and precious stone, and, most important of all, historical records inscribed onto clay tablet with astonishing expertise and skill and using advanced technology. Based on these records, Woolley decided to dig deeper and encountered evidence of a terrible flood. This was mud, pure sand of a kind that could only have been deposited by water. When the excavations reached a depth of 2.5 meters, earthenware bowls emerged from underneath a layer of pure clay. The conclusion was obvious. These facts were a clear indication that the city of Ur was one of those struck by the flood. German archaeologist Werner Keller expressed the importance of the excavation by saying that the findings of city remains beneath a muddy layer in the archaeological excavations made in Mesopotamia proved that there was a flood there. Research continued in another Mesopotamian city, today known as Tal al-Uhaimer, or Kish of the Sumerian. According to ancient Sumerian sources, this city was the capital of the first post-Diluvian dynasty. It, too, contained traces of the flood. The city of Shurupak in South Mesopotamia, which is today known as Tal Farah, likewise carries apparent traces of the flood. Archaeological studies in this city were headed by Eric Schmidt from the University of Pennsylvania between 1920 and 1930. Traces of a civilization that had flourished in the region between 3000 and 2000 BC were found in these excavations. It appeared from the cuneiform inscriptions that the people of the region were culturally quite advanced. The main point is that a terrible flood was seen to have occurred in this city around 3000 to 2900 BC. According to the account of another archaeologist, Sir Max Mallowan, 4 to 5 meters below the earth, Schmidt had reached a yellow soil layer formed by flood, made up of a mixture of clay and sand. This layer was closer to the plain level than the tumulus profile, and it could be observed all around the tumulus. The latest place shown to have been affected by the flood is the city of Erech to the south of Shurupak. Today the city is known as Tal al-Warqa. In this city, just as in others, a flood layer can be seen. This flood layer is dated between 3000 and 2900 BC, just like the others. Assessment of the evidence obtained from the finished study revealed that the flood area stretches approximately 160 kilometers from east to west and 600 kilometers from north to south. This shows that the flood covered the whole Mesopotamian plain. At the moment of the flood, the rivers Tigris and Euphrates, which run the entire length of Mesopotamia, burst their banks, and a terrible flood resulted when the river waters combined with the heavy rainfall, just as is revealed in the Quran. So we opened the gates of heaven with water pouring forth, and we caused the earth to gush forth with springs, so the waters met and rose to the extent decreed. When the waters rose, we carried you in the ship. As we have seen, archaeological and historical findings show that Noah's flood was a localized one, just as indicated in the Quran. The view held by commentators on the Old Testament that the flood engulfed the whole world lacks any scientific basis. Moreover, such a global flood does not seem possible. One reason for this is the account of the animals taken on board the ark. According to the proponents of the idea of a global flood, Noah loaded all the living species on Earth into the ark, and these were thus preserved from extinction. But how could Noah have accommodated, fed, and kept separate all the animal species he took on board? Moreover, how were animals from different continents brought together? These questions cannot, of course, be answered. In fact, the flood took place in one particular region only. Therefore, the animals taken on board were probably only those living in the region inhabited by Noah's people. We may also assume that the animals on the ark were domesticated, that could be easily taught and protected, and posed no danger to human beings. The Quran informs us that the ark came to rest after the flood on Al-Judi. There is one very important point here. The word Judi is generally regarded as a specific mountain site, whereas the word appears to mean high setting or hill in Arabic. So, according to verses in the Quran, the ark settled on a high place. Judi may not, therefore, be thought of as the name of a specific mountain. In addition, the meaning of the word Judi may also show that the waters had reached a certain height, but not as high as mountaintop level. That is to say that the flood most probably did not engulf the whole earth and all the mountains, as described in the Old Testament, but only covered one particular region. One very interesting fact about Noah's flood is the way it is referred to by very different cultures. The flood is described in Greek legends in the Shatapatha, Brahmana, and Mahabharata epics of India, in certain legends from Wales, in the Scandinavian Nordic epic Edda, in Lithuanian legends, and in tales of Chinese origin. How could these ancient civilizations, far distant from one another, and with no means of exchanging ideas, have come by such convergent accounts regarding the flood? The answer is clear. All these civilizations must have obtained similar information regarding it. This is clear evidence that they obtained information from a divine source. The flood was a lesson given to various civilizations by many prophets as a deterrent, and thus became part of different cultures. Yet each time, the texts were altered from their original forms. The truth has thus been lost among mystical and mythological ideas. The Quran is the only remaining source that is in substantial agreement with the findings of empirical observation. That is because the Quran was revealed from the presence of God and is under His special protection. It is therefore out of the question for it ever to change and depart from its true essence. God reveals this in a verse. It is we who have sent down the reminder, and we who will preserve it. The life of Noah and the flood are described in detail in the Quran. The people of Noah refused to amend their deviant way of life despite all the warnings given them. They continued in their denial of God and were destroyed with a divine punishment. This is mentioned in many verses of the Quran. The truth of this event, which took place thousands of years ago, has today been confirmed through scientific studies. The conclusions from these studies are in full agreement with the verses from the Quran. There is another point which must not be forgotten. Noah's flood is an important lesson for everyone. believers must take the lives of the prophets on the path of God as role models and learn from what befell the unbelieving associators of the people of Noah. God commands this in verses. Haven't they traveled in the earth and seen the final fate of those before them? They were greater than them in strength and left far deeper traces on the earth. Yet God seized them for their wrong actions, and they had no one to protect them from God.